Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of our friends in North Mississippi and West Alabama. Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Thankful to be here with you as we are 8 a.m. every Sunday morning. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. And you may say, well, Brother Joe, we didn't hear you on here last Sunday morning. It was another dude altogether. Well, that's Elder David Wise, my good friend and yoke partner in this ministry, and he's the good faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman. Now, both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we would just adore and love to have y'all come and worship with us. You'll find at both places a very welcoming, loving, humble group, and I trust you'll feel right at home. Very simple worship, very Christ-centered worship, very family-centered worship. Please come and be with us. If you'd like to know more about us and more about this effort on the radio, you can go to www.gospel-of-grace.com. There are links, frequently asked questions, archive of previous messages. We invite you to go and check out that resource. And under the sound of my voice are many Mississippians. And I want to say how thankful I am that we are able to enjoy the 200th birthday of our great state this year, the state of Mississippi. It's home to me, always truly has been home to me, and I hope it will always be home to me. But of course, that's the Lord's business and His sweet spirit, and we want to follow His guidance. But we're thankful to be here with you on Sunday mornings, and if you'll stay with us after this hymn, we'll bring this morning's message.
Years are spent in vanity and pride.
Thank you for staying with us. Appreciate that wonderful hymn and appreciate your lending an ear to this effort this morning. I'd like to bring you a message beginning in Titus chapter 1. Last time I spoke with you, we spoke on the benefits of organized religion. Unfortunately, this day and age in which we live, many people are jaded regarding the church, regarding organized religion. They want to proclaim their love for Jesus Christ, but at the same time, they will express a despising of the church and of organized religion. Well, my friends, the two, Jesus Christ and organized religion, go hand in hand. If organized religion is organized the right way and it is administered and executed the proper way according to the scripture, then it is wholly in harmony with the essence and with the morality and with the deportment of the perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there are many organized religions out there, many people calling themselves churches who have gone way off of the mark in doctrine, far off of the true path and practice. In fact, many people under the guise of religion in years past have murdered, they have slaughtered, they have persecuted, they have robbed and pillaged. Well, my friends, we're not talking about that. Many things call itself the church, but there is only one true church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's the church triumphant, and we trust that there is one visible, militant, recognizable, definable, measurable church and kingdom. Now, that's not to say that the church you may be a member of is totally unchurched. We certainly wouldn't do that. Don't have the authority to do that. But we do say, according to the word of God, that all that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, it is a burden upon each and every one of us to seek out where and with what organization we are to worship the Lord and Savior, and to feel at rest in our hearts and minds and consciences that said organization lines up with the word of God. So, last time we spoke to you on this subject, we talked about the benefits of organized religion in learning. That is the pillar and ground of the truth, that it is the center, as it were, in this world for spiritual learning and proper instruction from the Word of God. Now, I'd like to speak this morning, beginning with a very related topic to the learning aspect of the Church of Jesus Christ, and that is the benefits of organized religion, the benefits of the church kingdom while we live here, and organized religion in fighting error. The two go hand in hand. If you're going to learn the truth and learn the proper way, you're also, at the same time, simultaneously learning what is not the truth and what is not the proper way. You see, if you're working in a bank and they're teaching you how to recognize a true $100 bill, if they teach you all of the watermarks, they teach you the proper placement of the portrait, they show you that little strip that's on the inside, the little plastic strip that I think is so cool. Now, if they teach you all of that and they teach you how to recognize a true $100 bill, then at the same time, you also know what is not a true $100 bill. You're able to recognize counterfeits, you see? And so that's what the church does for us. It learns us, as we say in the country, we got some good learning. It gives us learning, but at the same time it gives us learning of the truth, teaching of the truth, we also are learning what is not the truth, and we're able to fight error. And my friends, we as disciples of Jesus Christ should fight error. We should fight it in the right way and in the right spirit, but fight it we must. We are soldiers in an army and in a struggle, and that is the army of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God that he has called me to fight in that war. Now, go with me to Titus chapter 1, and here Paul addresses the Pastor Titus, the pastor of the church at Crete. And beginning in verse 5, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." Now, what cause? He's about to tell us. "That thou, Titus, shouldst set in order." Notice that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. Well, what does that word, what does that phrase mean, the things that are wanting? Well, it means those things that lack, those things that are not up to snuff, those things that don't cut the mustard. If the doctrine is missing, then you need to fill in the gaps. You need to purge out that which is wrong, and you need to teach them what is right. If the practice and the way they worship is lacking, if they've gone off the mark, if that is wanting, then you are to try to bring them back to the proper path. And notice he said, these things should be set in order. Well, my friends, that in itself carries with it the picture of an organization. How can you set something in order if it's not in an orderly setting? You see, he said you are to set these things in order. And therefore, he's telling him you are the pastor of an organization. That organization has recognizable rules. It has recognizable doctrines, precepts, and laws. And The order is supposed to be in the confines and in harmony with that organization. He said, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word. Notice that, the singular, the faithful word, as he hath been taught. Well, how was he taught it? He was taught it within the confines of organized religion or the church. The Apostle Paul being an apostle of such, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He said, you as a pastor and they as the members of this church, this organization that you were set there to set in order and to make up the things that are wanting. He said, you should both exhort. That means encourage. Encourage to what? Encourage to do things the right way. And to convince. That means to convict. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to do that with proper teaching and a proper example in a proper setting. And that setting has been given us in the confines of the blessed church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Many people think that the church didn't begin until Acts chapter 2 and the coming on the scene of the Holy Ghost gift given unto the church. Well, certainly the church received her fervor. The church received her vigor in the coming on the scene of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Comforter. It is a ubiquitous and promised presence in all church bodies when they are following the Lord and Savior, and he manifests himself to them there. But my friends, it didn't begin in Acts chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving instruction regarding the church all the way back in Matthew chapter 18, which is where we're going to go right now. Matthew chapter 18, and notice this wording of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Notice he said, moreover, if thy brother. There he uses the term brother in a couple of occasions in that three verses. And I think the confines here is certainly the church. He said that you have a brother who's in the church. He trespasses against you. Then you are to go and you are to alone tell him his fault. That means you are to get the gumption up to go humbly and lovingly and have a confrontation, hopefully a very loving and pleasant confrontation, but a confrontation all the same, to tell them how that they have trespassed against you, that they have transgressed God's law, that they have offended, that they have sinned. And my friends, that's the best way to know whether you've offended or sinned according to God's word. Again, the confines of the church and the aspect of learning. But here he's giving this instruction in the confines of the church. Who do you think are the two or three witnesses that are to go? Well, my friends, they are to be those who are recognized in the church. You don't want to just go grab two or three people off of the street. You certainly want to grab two or three witnesses who are going to be recognized as having a track record, as it were, an authority in confessing and believing the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have walked in that way. Well, what's the best way to assure that you have such two or three witnesses to take with you to face this errant brother? Well, you have an organization for that, and it's called the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is the highest ecclesiastical authority that is in the Word of God. It ends with the church. Some people think it has to be a religious headquarters somewhere, or it has to be the Pope who is the last religious authority. You'll not find that in the Word of God. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He basically instructed them that if a brother had an issue with another brother, they were not to take it to the courts of law in the civil sense. They were to bring it before the church. And if the they would not hear the church's resolution of it, then it ended. It was done. It was resolved. The person who was in rebellion would be, you know, as it were, judged by that and excluded from the fellowship. And that's exactly what we see here. If he neglects, if he refuses to hear the church, the counsel of the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's not very flattering terms, and I don't want to be known of as a heathen man or a publican. So therefore, I want to walk in peace and harmony with my brothers and sisters in the church. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writing, notice the setting, Paul writing to the church at Galatia. And his writing to the church at Galatia, right off of the bat, he begins to tell them how the cow eats the cabbage. In other words, he starts laying down the law that there are very real dangers out there. And you, church at Galatia, and by extension, we as the Church of Jesus Christ today, need to be very aware of it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul declares, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let me stop there just one second. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Who do you think it is, him that called you? We know that calling means an effectual call. It's synonymous with the new birth. My friends, does a preacher do that? Well, I don't find anywhere in this writing to the church at Galatia where he excludes or exempts the pastorship or the preachers of the church at Galatia from this exhortation and the scorn that comes along with it, the rebuke, the reproach that comes along with it. I don't find that anywhere. So who is it that called them into the grace of Christ? My friends, it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one who had called them, not the preachers in that church. Oh, it's wonderful that they give the gospel call. But when you're talking about the effectual call, brothers and sisters, that it comes directly from the Lord himself into the heart and soul of his elect. And once they've been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, then they're able to respond to the gospel call. But he said, you've moved away from Christ and you've moved away from Christ's gospel unto another gospel. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Again, I mentioned this in a recent message. He's not saying that they're coming to you to try to advocate a completely wholly different God, a wholly different Messiah, a wholly different set of laws. You know, they're not doing as Scientology does. Scientology is a made-up religion, and they'll readily own it. I don't know why in the world people would want to follow in that. Well, it's just beyond me. That they know it's fiction, but yet they want to treat it as if it's eternal religion. No, here he said they're going to try to pervert this gospel that we have delivered unto you. They're going to want to twist it. They're going to want to pervert it. They're going to want to pollute it in your mind. They're going to say they preach Jesus Christ, but the things they teach about Jesus are completely diametrically opposed to Jesus Christ. They're going to tell you that they believe the gospel, the word of God, but they're going to teach you that you need something outside of the word of God to rightly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Here the church at Galatia needed to be on guard against error, and they were allowing error to come in. They were getting away from the gospel of grace, and they were allowing people to pervert that by saying that you had to be circumcised, or you had to keep the feast, you have to do this, or you have to do that. And it's through your doing is the only way that you can be assured eternal salvation. No, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul said, all those dead works you need to cast away, and you need to trust in the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to fight the error that would creep in, they had the church. And he said, we have delivered these things. We, the apostles, who have the authority to teach these things, have given them unto you. We, the apostles, who have the authority to give you the inspired word of God, which he said, we have already delivered you, we've given unto you. And now he says, though an angel from heaven, if an angel comes to you and say, I have crystal eyeglasses and a golden chest, and you open it up, and we'll give you a whole new addendum to the word of God, reject it.
If someone coming and says they're an apostle, Paul said, even if I come to you and give you something that is contrary to what's already been delivered to you, let me be accursed. No, my friends, we need to be very serious about this. And there is an organization that's been given us to fight error, and it's called the Church of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with me to the little epistle of 2 John. Here, the Apostle John is writing to one he addresses as the elect lady. He says this in verse 1 of the second epistle of John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. Now, who is this elect lady? Do you think this elect lady is just a lady? You know, just a lady who's maybe the head of a household. Maybe her husband has died, maybe he's whatever. But she is the matriarch of a household that is just maybe her children. Maybe he's just writing this epistle to her and to her household. Well, possibly, but I don't really think that's the case. I believe here John is writing to the elect lady as a church. Because, my friends, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the bride of Jesus Christ, a feminine term. We are the bride of Christ. So I believe here, personally, he's addressing a church, the elect lady. Why do I think that also? Because here in verse 13, the very closing verse of this little epistle of 2 John, he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen. I think John was counting himself in that salutation. He was saying, the children of thy elect sister. Well, I don't think John was talking about his physical mama and being in his physical mama's household. I believe he's talking about another church, communication from one church to the other. So here, I believe he's addressing a church. But now notice what he says. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Not a doctrine of Christ. Lord knows there's so many people out there teaching a doctrine. They'll teach you doctrines that say, well, you're only in the loving favor of God if you've got a Mercedes-Benz to drive. They'll teach you doctrines that say, well, you've got to go and you've got to hold beads and you've got to say certain incantations to get your sins put away. Or that Jesus couldn't have done it all completely. You've got to go to a place called purgatory to have it burned away. There are many people out there with many doctrines. But here John is writing to this elect lady, whom I believe to be referring to a church. He said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. It means if you're spurning and rejecting the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have absolutely no confidence that God is your Father. Now, that's not saying that God's children can't be bewitched. That's not saying that God's children can't fall into disobedience or disbelief. It's a dreadful place to fall. And there are multiple places in the Scripture that tell us we can do that. We need to be on guard not to do that. But my friends, if you fall into disobedience, if you fall into rebellion and disbelief, then you and your mind and heart, you can really have zero confidence that God is your Father, because you are dwelling in unbelief. You are rejecting Christ and his message. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So where do you know you're on good ground? If you love the doctrine of Jesus Christ, if you recognize him as the Son of God who takes away sin, you have both him and the Father. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, this one singular doctrine, receive him not into your house. That house, I believe, the elect lady dwelled in, I believe, is talking about the organization of the church. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. Receive him not into your house. That means do not receive him as a church member. Do not receive him as a baptized, confessed believer if he rejects these things. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. My friends, if you are a member of an elect lady, if you are a member of a sound church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we must be on guard to be maintaining the truth and the order of this beautiful, wonderful, benevolent organization the Lord has given us. We go over to the book of Acts chapter 15. Very quickly, we're going to have to bring this to a close for this morning. Over in Acts chapter 15, there's a council that had come together. And certain men, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. As we just addressed, that's a fallacy.
When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. They didn't go out to some Tom, Dick, and Harry out on the street. They didn't go to the local merchant. They went to authoritative sources. How are you going to know where those authoritative sources are? Seems like you'll know because they're in the church. They're walking as baptized, confess believers of the Lord's church. Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. It was not just left to chance. They didn't just have the attitude, oh, well, we'll leave it alone and we'll let them teach what they want to teach and we'll let them believe what they want to believe. It'll all work out in the end. No, they were dynamic. They were active in trying to correct this error and to insulate it and to cut it off. And to correct it and to make up those things that are wanting and to set in order those things that remained. You see, how did they have that? They had it through the framework of the church. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 20, and you're going to find there that they had error in that church regarding the Lord's Supper. And notice where he said the Lord's Supper was to be partaken of? In the church. That's who it was given to. And that's where it needs to be enjoyed. And how are you going to know that there are not heresies and divisions entered into your Last Supper, your communion observance? You have the church, you see. For not only do you learn in the church, you are able to fight error in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe the organization that you're a member of right now that claims Jesus Christ does that, has a zeal to do that, wants to do that, has a concern about doing that, then I would invite you and encourage you to visit a Primitive Baptist church near you. Until we're able to be with you again, may the Lord's special blessings be upon you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.